So yeah, as Tim said, thank you for the introduction, Tim. My name is Ben. I work with the high school youth. Any high school youth in the group? Yeah, awesome. Of the high school youth. And I am so excited to be with you this morning. So welcome. If you're new here, you've caught us at a fantastic time because we are going through a series that is all about Jesus. And particularly, this series is about what Jesus said about himself, the I am statements that we find in the Gospel of John. And today, we're going to be talking about one of Jesus' most famous statements. It's in fact our children's memory verse for this month. And it's when Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And today, you know, we're specifically just going to try to focus on the way of Jesus. You know, Jesus is the truth. He is the life. We believe that. That's great. But today, I just really want to focus on the way. What does Jesus mean by his metaphor, I am the way? Well, in preparing for this message, I kept having a story come to the front of my mind. Have any of you guys heard of the story, A Paper Bag Princess? Anybody heard that story, read that story? Okay, so it's a fantastic story. It's a children's book, okay? And it's about a prince and a princess, and they live in a castle far, far away, okay? And they're right about to get married and have their happily ever after. But before they get married, a dragon comes and eats their castle and burns up everything and takes the prince away. It's tragic. And the fire has destroyed everything. And so the princess is left in the rubble. And the only thing that survives the dragon's fire is a paper bag. And so the princess has to put on this paper bag and she sets off to save the prince. And she gets to the dragon, and she outwits the dragon. She gets past the dragon, gets to the dragon's lair, and opens the door and saves Prince Ronald. Come on! Go princesses. They can be the heroes as well. So, however, when Princess Ronald sees his rescuer in only a paper bag, he says, Elizabeth, you are a mess. You smell like ashes, your hair is tangled, and you are wearing a dirty old paper bag. Come back when you are dressed like a real princess. Wow, Ronald, okay. To which the princess replies, your clothes are very pretty and your hair is very neat. You look like a real prince, but you are a bum. Wow. Love that story. Love that story. I think this story kept coming to my mind because Jesus' way is a much humbler way than many of us in this room might expect. We might expect Jesus to show up and save us wearing fancy robes on a horse to pick us up, take us to bliss, carry us to safety in all these magnificent ways. But I think that Jesus' way often resembles the paper bag princess's way much more than it resembles maybe Prince Ronald's way. So I just want to prepare us this morning that Jesus' way might not be the way that we expected it to be, but it is the way that we need. So let's pray. Jesus, please be with me this morning as I share your way with these people. Holy Spirit, fill me. Just come and fill this room. Soften our hearts to accept your humble way of salvation. Jesus, we love you. We love you so much. Thank you for how you're working in this church, for how you're bringing people to yourself. Thank you. In your name, amen. So, this I am statement that we're going to be looking at today comes from the Gospel of John in chapter 14, verse 6. So if you have your Bibles, you can turn to chapter John 14, verse 6, or you can open it up on your phone. In this part of Jesus' life, Jesus has done most of his earthly ministry. He's healed people, raised people from the dead, fed thousands, taught thousands of people. And now he has just made his triumphal entrance into Jerusalem, with many people even hailing him as the king. They cry, Hosanna, which means save us. Blessed is the one coming in the name of the Lord, the King of Israel. The people of ancient Israel expected Jesus to come and become king and to save them from the Romans who were oppressing them. But Jesus totally paper bag princessed them. Instead of saving anybody politically or taking a throne as king, Jesus instead predicts his own death on a cross. And then he meets with his closest followers in an upper room and he washes their feet. He then says, I am going to prepare a place for you, and where I go, you know the way. Well, They do not know what is going on, the disciples. Nor do they know what Jesus is meaning by this way. So Thomas, one of the disciples of Jesus, says, Lord, we do not know where you go. How are we then able to know the way? To which Jesus replies, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Well, there's a lot going on here. There's a lot of confusion, and there's a lot of unmet expectations on the disciples' end. But I think that confusion is mainly present because Jesus is using a metaphor with his disciples, namely the metaphor of the way. So this morning, we're gonna do a little bit of like Bible nerd Greek stuff, okay? Are you guys okay with that? We're gonna do it. It's gonna be really fun. It's gonna be awesome. You're gonna absolutely love it. So the Greek word used by John here when recording Jesus is the Greek word hodos. Everybody say that with me, hodos. Hodos, yes, fantastic. So we translate hodos in English as a way or a path or a road. Literally, this word is quite simple. It just means the thing that exists between point A and point B, that route that you take to get to your destination. But in the library of scripture, hodos has two common metaphorical meanings. It has two nuances. First, hodos is often used in the Bible as God's saving action in the world. It's used as God's purposes and his will. In the Old Testament, there's a story about God parting the Red Sea for his people. Ancient Israel was enslaved in Egypt for 400 years. And in 1200 BC, God sets his people free. They're saved. They leave Egypt. They're free. They're liberated. But as they leave, Pharaoh and the armies of Egypt chase after them. And so now they're running away. They have to get away. But they're blocked by a large body of water. The Red Sea has blocked them. They have impeding death behind them, this massive expanse of sea in front of them. They have no way to the other side. They have no way to freedom, to liberation. But Moses, the leader of Israel, stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord drove back the sea by a strong east wind all night and made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided. God made a way in the sea, and from then on, the way of the Lord was synonymous with salvation, with rescue, with freedom, liberation. Again, 700 years after that initial liberation, Israel found themselves again enslaved to the Babylonians. But in exile, as they were in Babylon, they anchored their hope in this, that just as God made a way for the Israelites through the waters to save them, in the same way, God would make a way through the desert from Babylon back to their homeland. The prophet Isaiah writes, "Thus says the Lord who makes a way in the sea, a path in the mighty waters, I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert." But this metaphor wasn't only about the Israelites returning to their homeland. It was also about the restoration of the whole world, the glory of the Lord being revealed to all. Isaiah writes, "In the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord and make straight in the desert a highway for our God, and the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all people will see it together." So the way of the Lord, translated from the Hebrew to the Greek as hodos, was understood as the action of God to save his people, to make a way for them out of their plight. This was the way, or the hodos of God. But there's another meaning. Secondly, in biblical understanding, hodos can mean a person's moral conduct or the course of one's life. Particularly though, it means one's lifestyle of like obedience to God. So again, we're gonna go back to that story in the Old Testament when Israel just got saved. So right after the ancient Israelites got saved from the Egyptians, they made their way through the sea, they're out the other side, they got saved, but they ended up in a desert. And so they started really grumbling and complaining about God, the God who had just saved them. They said things like, God, why did you bring us up out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our livestock with thirst? What are you doing? Well, God said this of his wayward people. They are people who go astray in their heart, and they have not known my ways. The people needed direction. They needed instruction. They needed a way to live. So God gave them Torah, the Bible, the Ten Commandments, instructions on how to live. And scripture calls this the way. Moses spoke to the Israelites after laying out the Ten Commandments. You shall walk in all the way that the Lord your God has commanded you. Deuteronomy 5:33. So the biblical authors understood that the way of God was a lifestyle of obedience to God, a lifestyle of righteousness and flourishing. So Hodas can mean both God's action to save his people, and it can mean a lifestyle of obedience to God. Those are its two big common metaphorical uses in the Old Testament. So when Jesus shows up and he says to his disciples, I am the way, what is he saying? Which metaphor is he using? Well, I believe that Jesus is using this metaphor to encapsulate both meanings. Jesus is both the way of salvation and he is the example and instruction of what it means to live a righteous and obedient life. He is the Hodos, the way, in both senses of the word. But how does Jesus save us? What does that even mean? Well, we say things like, you know, we've been saved by the blood. Like, what does his salvation mean? And secondly, what lifestyle is he calling us to if he just says, I am the way? What is he getting at here? What is he trying to say? Well, I believe that these two ideas actually are actually really connected. I believe that the way Jesus saves us and the life that he calls us to lead, the road of obedience that he asks us to walk, are actually one in the same. First, let's answer the question, though, of how is Jesus the way of salvation? Well, Jesus is the way of salvation because he saved us from our sins by dying for all of us on the cross. The Bible teaches that God is a holy God. He is perfect, and we are not. We are imperfect. We've all done wrong. We have committed sin. We have hurt others. Others have hurt us. We live in a very broken world. And I think, you know, in the testimonies that were shared and just in our own lives, I believe that all of us have felt the effects of this world's brokenness in some form. There's sickness, death, pain, war, heartbreak, sudden, unexpected tragedies. And all of this is due to humanity's wrongdoings, according to Scripture. And because God is holy and we are sinful, we cannot dwell with God. There is no way to our heavenly Father when we are guilty of sin. Remember that story of the ancient Israelites fleeing from the Egyptians? I like to sometimes think of that as, that's kind of us. We're like Israel sometimes. Or we are. We're standing on the banks of a massive expanse of water. This sin, this brokenness, our own wrongdoings, our selfishness, the curved in-ness nature of humanity is separating us from this holy and perfect God. And the consequences of those sins are coming behind us. You know, the death, the shame, the guilt, the pain, they're coming behind us, and we have no way to our heavenly Father. Yet, and this is the hope, Jesus made a way. Because God is holy and perfectly just, there needed to be justice for all of this wrong in the world. But instead of having us pay the price for this brokenness and sin, God paid it for us. The Son of God, Jesus, who is fully God and fully man, died the death we deserved. He served our sentence to part the sea. Isaiah the prophet, who prophesied about the way of Jesus' salvation, writes, but he was pierced for our transgression, crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and with his wounds we are healed. All we, like sheep, have gone astray, and we have turned everyone to their own way. And the Lord has laid on him, Jesus, the iniquity of us all. So Jesus died in our place to part the sea, to make a way to our Father so we could have eternal life with the God of love. And he parts that sea so we could be guiltless, honorable, free, holy, innocent, no matter what we've done, no matter how large we feel like it is, no matter how all-consuming that brokenness is. Jesus cuts through it and makes a way to our Heavenly Father. This is what Jesus means, I think, when he says that I am the way. I am the way. I am the Savior. I am the way of salvation. The New Testament writers attribute the Isaiah 40 prophecy of I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. All four Gospels begin with John the Baptist attributing that prophecy to Jesus. He is the way of that spiritual reconciliation with God. So this is how he is the way of salvation. But how is he the hodos, the way in the second meaning of the word? How is he our example of a righteous and obedient life? Well, Jesus does not only save us from sin, but he also calls us to a way of life that is modeled after his. Jesus died for all people. He laid his life down for others, no matter who they were. And with that in mind, Jesus also says, if anyone would come after me, let them deny themselves, take up their cross daily and follow me. For whoever would save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for my sake and the gospel will save it. And so now we see that the way to live, the lifestyle he calls us to, is modeled after his self-sacrificial death. Jesus said in John 15, love one another as I have loved you. As Jesus laid his life down for us, we ought to now lay our life down for others. As I was processing this message with Pastor Ben Fredrickson, who's spearheading our fourth campus, come to the thing on Wednesday, it's gonna be great. As I was processing with him and kind of preaching with him, he said, he gave me this really helpful insight. In this instance, Jesus, when he says, I am the way, Jesus isn't calling us to a set of rules to follow, but rather a life to model. That flows nice, right? Not a set of rules to follow, but a whole life to follow. Jesus is calling us to a relationship with himself, to model his self-sacrificial love. For some of you in this room, self-sacrificial love for others might look like offering a listening ear when you're really busy, or washing the dishes when it's not your turn, or not taking that higher paying job, maybe to be more present with your kids, or serving your family day in, day out, when there's no bonus check at the end of the season, or a myriad of other things. But no matter what, the way of Jesus, this path always involves sacrifice. And this doesn't mean that we actively seek out harm for ourselves. We're called to care for and love the bodies and the minds, ourselves, that God has given us. But that does not negate the reality that Jesus calls us to live a life that is modeled after his. A life of sacrifice, humility, giving up our power. This is the kicker for me. Giving up our expectations of how our life should go for the sake and the benefit of others. That one is hard. I want to go to NW. No, I want to go to McDonald's. Okay, we'll go to McDonald's, whatever. That one's so hard for me. And that's the humble road. That's the baptism to death. That's the dying to ourselves. And so here's where we finally come back to that story that I told you at the beginning of the message, the paper bag princess. I'm sure some of you are like, how is the paper bag princess story relevant to talking about Jesus in the self-sacrificial way? Well, I just want you to think of Prince Ronald for a moment, okay? And I want you to think of yourself as Prince Ronald. You are trapped in that dragon's lair, all right? You know, the door is locked from the outside. There is no way out. The dragon is gonna eat you at any moment. It's not looking good. Things are not happy. But then, to your surprise, the door clicks. It swings open. You're saved. The dragon is not going to eat you anymore. This is wonderful. But you cannot stand the sight of your savior. It's the paper bag princess. I mean, her hair is messy. Her face is dirty. She sacrificed so much to be there. She's got no shoes on. She's wearing a dirty old paper bag. So you say, princess, thank you so much for saving me. I really appreciate that. Really appreciate what you did. But I don't really want anything to do with your way or how you lived or how you saved me. Please take your paper bag somewhere else. This is a silly story, but it gets much less silly when we realize that we often do that same thing with Jesus. I have so often said, thank you so much, Jesus, for saving me. Thank you for making a way for me. But I don't want to live your way. I don't want to lay my life down for others as you have laid down your life for me. We want the way of Jesus' love and forgiveness, maybe in salvation, but we often, if we're honest with ourselves, don't want to walk that road of self-sacrificial love, of death to ourselves. And today is our reminder that to accept Jesus' salvation, to accept his way, is also to accept his self-sacrificial way. The two are connected. They are one metaphor. You cannot have one without the other. And so I believe this reality is of following Jesus in the self-sacrificial way is evident in the symbol of baptism. Today we witness some baptisms. They're fantastic. And the symbol of baptism is truly extensive and profound. There's like a million symbols of baptism. We're cleansed by the water. We're covered in God's love. We're adopted into the family of God. We pass from death to life. In 1 Corinthians 10, Paul even likens baptism to the Israel's salvation from Egypt as they pass through the waters from death into liberation. So we also pass through the water from death into life. So in baptism, we are saved. But as Tim mentioned earlier, we're simultaneously baptized into death and into a new way of life. We die to our selfish ways and are raised into Jesus' way. The Apostle Paul writes, "Or do you not know that all who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, so that just as Jesus was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, likewise we might also walk in newness of life." Following the way of Jesus, from its beginning, from baptism to our last breath, it's all about dying to our selfish ways and living for Jesus's self-sacrificial way. And this spiritual baptism from death to life, it has been, you know, rudely abrupt in my own life and evident in my own life. It's been beautiful, but it's been very present. There was a time in my life, you know, when I struggled with a particular sin. I developed sinful habits, and these selfish sins put a chasm between myself and my Heavenly Father. And in my sin, I not only separated myself from my Heavenly Father, but also to others. And so sin has this way of just pushing all relationships away. And one day, and this is the abrupt part, I just felt Jesus speaking to me, not audibly, but convicting me deeply, saying, "Ben, you need to tell somebody. You need to repent. You need to turn from this way. I have something better for you. I have something more holy for you. I have something better for you, Ben. You need to change your way. You need to die to how you're living. You need to die to yourself and live to this new way." So I confessed my sin to a trusted mentor. I repented. I died to that old way. I had to leave that behind. And in that process, Jesus communicated to me through the word of God that my failures, my mistakes, and my sins, that old way, those things don't define me. But the sacrificial love of Jesus defines me. His death, his resurrection, his love, those things define me. That old Ben dies and the new Ben is raised. And because I am saved and defined by Jesus' love, I've been saved from my brokenness. By him, I have been called to live as he lived, to serve as he served, to walk as he walked. And I try my best to live like him, to sacrifice for others, but I am by no means perfect at this. I'm really a work in progress, make mistakes all the time, act selfishly. But even though I make mistakes, I know Jesus. I know the one who is the way. I have direction. I know who to follow. Like the paper bag princess who saved Prince Ronald, Jesus has opened the door to true life and made a way for us. The only question is, will we accept the humble way of this humble Savior? Will we die to ourselves? Will we accept him as he came to us humbly, wearing the proverbial paper bag? Will we pick up our cross and follow him? Will we be baptized into death and into life? So my invitation this morning is this. Firstly, if you're a seeker, if this is the first time you've walked in this room or you've been to church or you're new, you're still on that journey of discovering who Jesus is, I would just invite you to study him. Just pick up a book, you know, pick up some books about Jesus. Listen to a podcast. Read the Bible. Read the Gospels. That's probably a great place to start. Why don't we start there? and especially talk with people that have been changed by the life-changing power of Jesus. Talk to people. Learn about salvation, of the radical love of Jesus. And secondly, if you're ready this morning, if you saw those baptisms, if you felt like the word has just touched you this morning or Jesus is speaking to you, please find somebody in our prayer room back there or up here on the front and become a follower of Jesus this morning. If you feel like that's, if you're ready to take that step, you know, be changed. And we just don't want you to walk that road alone. We have tons of people here who would love to pray with you. And thirdly, if you're already a Christian, if you're already a follower of Jesus, I just have two encouragements for us this morning. First, remember that Jesus still is who he says he is always. He is the way of salvation to us Christians, not one time in our past, but today, tomorrow, and every single day to come. So even when we backslide and even if we end up in places we shouldn't, Jesus always provides a way out. He is ready to forgive us. He never runs out of grace. He never stops peeling back the seas to make a way from our sin to salvation. He never stops opening the door, wearing the paper bag and saying, come, follow me, pick up your cross. I have something better for you. Never stops being the way of salvation. And secondly, if you have no idea where to go this morning, you're like, I don't know how I'm gonna walk this self-sacrificial road. I don't know who I'm gonna help. I don't know if what I'm gonna do is make a difference. I don't know what I'm doing. That's me sometimes. Remember that Jesus is ultimately calling us to himself. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Remember, not rules to follow, but a life to model, a life to love, a person to love. Jesus is a person. He's a man. He's a God. He's fully God. He's fully man. He loves you. He wants to have a relationship with you. He is the way. And wherever you go with him in relationship with him, guess what? That is the way. And you're just going to find yourself behaving like him, loving like him, sacrificing like him, because you know him and you love him. You're in relationship with him. When we're in relationship with Jesus, who is the way, wherever we go with him is the way. So Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus is both the way of salvation and he is the example of the way to live. He is the God who sacrificed so much for us, opens the door, and calls us to relationship with himself. He is the way, and he calls us to follow him. So Heavenly Father, King Jesus, Savior of the world, Lord, we just ask you to meet us here in this place. Holy Spirit, fill us, Lord, work in this place. Lord, for those who feel like they're lost, like they don't maybe know the way, or they feel like they're stuck on the bank of the shore with a mass expanse of sea blocking them from the other side, Lord, may you just remind them today that you are the way. You make that way through the water. Lord, we love you. Thank you for being the way of salvation for us, for giving us a person to follow, a person to love. Thank you for being our Savior, and we love you. In your name, amen.